We have arrived at the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Next week we'll be moving into the New Testament, 27 more books to go, and we will have considered the entire Bible, which is our book. From Malachi, the third chapter, these words. See, I'm sending my messenger to prepare my way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. And then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in the wages, against those who oppress the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the immigrant, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. So return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Scriptures. The book of Malachi begins with a debate between God and God's people. And God's people started off. They say, God, you don't seem to love us as much as you used to. I mean, after all, look around, look at all the problems that we're having. It's clear to us, Lord, that you just don't love us like you used to. And God responds back by saying, well, now, I don't see it that way. God says, it seems to me that you don't love me as much as you used to. God says, you know, children are supposed to honor their fathers and their mothers, and yet you're not really showing much honor to me, your heavenly Father. And the people argue back, and they say, well, you know, you're going to have to come up with some evidence. We think we do a pretty good job of honoring you. What's your evidence, God, that we don't honor you as much as we used to? Now, in those days, people would honor God with their offerings. And so God said, well, look at the offerings you're giving me. That's pretty good evidence you don't honor me very much. Look at the offerings that you're coming up with. And so, in those days, many of the offerings that people gave were offerings of animals. They would take a goat or they would take cattle, or they would take sheep, or they would find a pigeon, and they would bring the animals to the priests, and the priests would slaughter them on the altar of the temple, and those were the offerings that people would make. And so God says to the people, look at the animals you've been giving me lately. I mean, it's like roadkill you're showing up with at the temple here. You're giving me animals that are crippled. You're giving me animals that are diseased. You know, in the old days, you're supposed to give me the best of your flocks. But look what you're bringing to me now, right now. Your offerings are pathetic. And The people didn't really have an answer to that, because what they were bringing the Lord was, you know, really was kind of not very good. It reminds me of sometimes what shows up in the church in the form of certain donations that you get. Joyce Lefevre was here Friday, and she was here to chop vegetables for for the lunch for the next day for the bazaar. And she said, "I brought my own knife with me." And I immediately thought, that's a good idea, because I have never in my life ever seen a good knife in a church. Because I don't know where church knives come from, but I've never seen one that was even as sharp as a butter knife. I don't know how those knives get donated. I think people say, "Well, I'm tired of sharpening it. It's no good anymore. Let's give it to the church." And so, really, go look through our knife drawer in our kitchen and tell me if you can see one good donation of a knife that was ever given. And couches. I mean, we all know, if you're in a church, don't ever sit down in a couch that you see in a church, because you'll need a forklift to get out of it, because people don't donate their couches to churches if they're still any good. The church only gets the couch when people say, "Let the youth group have it." So, I mean, you do know never to sit down on a couch in a church, at least at our age for most of us here. So your kids can sit down in one and still manage it. But this is how it was in the days of Malachi. The Lord said, "The stuff you're giving me, it's just not meeting the standard here." Now, in the days of Malachi, the priests were at the center of all this, because it was the job of the priest to teach the people what they should be giving to God. It was the job of the priest to teach people how they should be acting. It was the job of the priest to teach people ethics. It was the job of the priest to teach people how to live their lives with integrity. And the book of Malachi is all about things that the priests should be teaching, and they're not. Because the priests had not taught people to give of their best to the Lord. The priests had not taught people to treat others with justice. And so Malachi has to make mention of those things. You know, you need to treat the people. If somebody's working for you, you need to give them a fair wage. If you have widows or orphans or immigrants among you, you have to take care of those people. You have responsibility, social responsibility for the people who have less. And so Malachi is writing to the priests, and you've got to teach people that they need to live their lives with integrity. And integrity means that what you see on the outside is also on the inside of a person. That we're not hypocrites. That we're not one person for show and another person that we really are. And so Malachi is telling the priests, you've got to do a better job of teaching people. And the message of Malachi can be summed up very simply in the message of love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. Love yourself enough to live your life with integrity. Now, we really don't know who Malachi was or when he lived exactly. We know the book itself says very little about him. It just says the message of Malachi. And the word Malachi in Hebrew means the messenger. So we don't have exact dates. We can't locate him exactly. Although we think that he lived at a time when the government was weak and the priesthood was strong, which would have put him about the same period of time as we've been reading the last couple books, maybe 500 years or so, maybe before Jesus was born. But his book is the last book of the Old Testament. And even though we can't locate him exactly in time, or we don't know anything about him as a person, his message is timeless for us. It is in Malachi that we see a number of verses that show up in Handel's Messiah. If you particularly paying attention as I read the scripture for you this morning, some of you might have wanted to sort of break out in a chorus or something there. So Handel uses some of Malachi in some of his 70-plus references that he has in his work of the Messiah. Now, Malachi raises the issue of refinement, and he also mentions fuller's soap in his text. Part of what I read to you this morning. A fuller in the Bible was somebody who scrubbed garments so that they would become really white. And what they used was they either used millstones to grind those garments white, or they used some sort of a vegetable, some sort of a plant product. So a fuller's soap, a fuller being somebody who scrubbed garments to make them white, so a fuller's soap was whatever concoction they could come up with to whiten a garment. And Malachi says the Lord's going to come and use some fuller soap on us because we've kind of fallen short in what we've given God. We've kind of fallen short in how we've treated each other. We've kind of fallen short in living our own lives with integrity and transparency. And so the Lord's going to use some fuller soap on us. Another image is the Lord's going to bring some refining fire so that we can be melted down and the impurities washed away. And Malachi has that message that there need to be some changes in the future. That life as we're living it now is not going to do. There need to be some reforms, some changes. We need to be cleansed and we need to be purified. Malachi speaks up in the scripture that I read to you. He speaks up about sorcerers. And there are several places in the Old Testament that mention sorcerers. And I haven't said much about it in some of these other books, but a sorcerer is somebody who believes that the future is already determined. Our fates are sealed. That whatever is going to happen is going to happen, and there's not anything we can do about it. And so the sorcerer would be a person who, of whatever means that particular sorcerer uses, the sorcerer is one who's going to tell you what's going to happen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's already decided. So you go to the sorcerer to find out what it's going to be. And Malachi and so many of the other prophets are, they take issue with the sorcerers because they say, no, our future is not determined. Our future is not already sealed. Our future depends on how we relate to God. If we relate to God well in the future, then that's going to affect what happens. On the other hand, if we continue to be careless with what we offer God, if we continue to be careless in how we treat each other, if we continue to disregard our responsibilities for social justice, if we continue to lead our lives where we're one person in public and another person in private, then that will determine our future. So Malachi speaks out against the sorcerers. He says, the future has more in our hands. Let's not be lazy and just say it's fate. We have a huge say in what's going to happen in the future. And it all depends on how we relate to God. Now, the bad news of Malachi is that there's some fuller soap out there waiting for us. Or there's a refiner's fire that's out there waiting for us. That God cares about the kind of lives we live. God cares about our relationship with Him. God cares about how we relate to each other. So there's refiner's fire, there's fuller soap. That's kind of the bad news of Malachi. But the good news of Malachi is that God cares enough that God will always send somebody with a message. Malachi means messenger. God will always send somebody with a message to tell us what we need to hear and not just what we want to hear. You can always tell when somebody really loves you because you can tell when you really love somebody. Because you really struggle to find a way to tell them what nobody else loves them enough to say. And so that's the good news of Malachi, is that he comes with a message because God loves us, not because God's just angry and wants to slash away with us with the fuller soap or with the refiner's fire. I mixed my metaphors there, didn't I? But you'll straighten it up later in the manuscript there. God loves us so much that He sends all the time people to tell us what we need to hear and not just what we want to hear. And it may be a child who bears that message. Or it may be the lyric of a song. It may come from somebody who's not even Christian. But that's the way God's love operates. Now, this morning I want to only talk about one practical point. Today is All Saints' Day. We're also beginning the month of November. And you all know that some sort of a stewardship sermon is coming your way in November, this time of year. And today's topic is Malachi, who says a lot about the kind of offerings we make. Every chapter has something to do with our offerings. Malachi is the one who says we should bring the Lord a tithe. That's a tenth of what we have made. Malachi is the one who says that we need to be changed so that our offerings can be more acceptable to the Lord. Malachi is the one who says that we need to give to the Lord so that the Lord's storehouses can be full. So Malachi is about offerings. Malachi is a good book to look at when we want to think about what it is we're going to give to the Lord. And I think All Saints' Day is also a good day to look at what it is we give to the Lord. There's a very simple definition of a saint that we have in a church. Saints are those who lived their lives doing whatever they could to keep the church strong during their lifetimes. Again, a saint is someone who did everything they could to keep the church strong during his or her lifetime. Some saints made extraordinary sacrifices to keep the church strong. When we think about the saints, we think about people who've been a part of this church and all that they did to keep this church strong during their lifetimes. We think about people in our families, people who were a part of other churches, and the extraordinary sacrifice that many of them made to keep the church strong. People who gave the tithe, even though they struggled to make ends meet, because they were determined in their lifetimes to help keep the church strong. We think about people that we read in our history books, that we learn about in our Sunday school lessons. People who lived maybe centuries ago, and the extraordinary things that they did to keep the church strong during their lifetimes. And there's a simple reason why we want to keep the church strong. Because the church is the one institution that helps individuals be strong for making it through what will prove to be, in almost every instance, a pretty challenging life. Everybody in this room, we all have our challenges to face. Sometimes I know about many of your challenges, and sometimes I know that it's only by the grace of God that you're meeting some of the challenges and some of the things that you're having to face. And I can see how much the church helps people to live their lives with all the stuff that's out there that we have to face. And I'm thankful for the saints who have given so much to keep the church strong. And I think about the people in this community, how many old people there are, and how challenging it is to get feeble as you get older. These last months are the first time in my life I've ever seen my own parents become feeble. And I've seen the power of their church helping them make it through. And I don't know who the saints are at Douglas Church in Springfield, but I'm thankful that they kept that church strong through their lifetimes. We have children who are facing unspeakable challenges and sometimes abuses. 800 children in the third, fourth, and fifth grade in the Mattoon school system. And half of them are not connected with any church. And I think about how important it is for the church to be strong so that we can help these children in every way we possibly can to live in this world which is so hard to live in. And Malachi speaks of keeping the storehouses of the Lord full so that the people of God can be strong, to help others be strong through sharing the wisdom of Scriptures, through sharing the fellowship of Christ, through sharing a passion for people who are struggling in this life. The church shares joy with people. And we've got to have joy if we want to get up the next morning for the things that are facing us. The saints, we celebrate the saints today because these are the people who kept the church strong in their lifetimes. Now, there's something really weird about this church. This is the only church I've ever served that was in a period of time where it had more money than it knew what to do with. And that was my first 3 years here. We had to scramble. We had endowment funds. We had money in the bank. We had more offerings that were coming in than we were spending in our budget. And our committees and our church council and our endowment committee were scrambling because we didn't just want to throw the money out there willy-nilly, and we scrambled to try to find ways that we could use that money to be a blessing to people. And everything that we've been experimenting with in the last year and a half, whether it's expanding what we're doing in worship, whether it's expanding our ministry to old people, whether it's expanding our ministry to children, things that we've done with mission trips and with youth groups and healing services, all of the stuff that we've done, all of these experiments in the last year and a half are trying to find a way to be faithful to the funds that we had available to us. But unfortunately, church finances are like weather. It's summer one day and winter the next. And in the last year, that the storehouses have started to run empty here. We've still got endowment money, but we've decided that that's money for a long-term future. We're spending it in ways that are appropriate. But that's money for our children and our grandchildren to use also to do ministry here in Mattoon. Just as we're leaving them a building and we're leaving them traditions, we're leaving them some endowment money. We're able to use it, they'll be able to use it. But endowment funds are not intended to replace the tithes of the people. And so now we find ourselves with deaths, with moves, with changes, some of the things that we've expanded, the storehouses are starting to run empty. And so this past month, in what was the most difficult thing I've had to do since I've been here, I had to propose staff cuts in staff salaries of $40,000 and another $20,000 in some other cuts to programming, trying to do it as fairly as possible, trying to be sure we didn't cut the guts out of what we're trying to do for people here. And I started with myself, with a significant cut in my own salary. And it's not going to kill me, but it's going to hurt. I mean, I've got parents and children and grandchildren. I make more than enough for myself, but, you know, almost all of you are in that same boat. When the Lord blesses you, you share that with other people. And now it's time to come to the congregation and say, you know, I know there are people here who are really struggling who can't do anymore. And if you're struggling and you can't do anymore, and I've made you feel guilty, please accept my apology. That's not my intent. But I also know that there are a lot of people here who are as well off as I am. And I know that some people are even doing better. And I just need to let you know, it's time to replenish the storehouse of the Lord. Because we're at a point right now, because of the cuts, that we're spending more money to post somebody at the door to keep out undesirables than we are to pay somebody to do children's ministry and bring children in. That's a tragedy when a church gets to this point. And I don't think any of us are going to go down that road of tragedy. I know that we can do okay. I also think it's immoral for a church to simply balance its budget on the backs of the staff alone. And so we'll get the details to you, but the weather turned bad. And we just need to let people know that it's our turn as saints to do all we can to keep the church strong in our own time. As we read the names of the saints and as we sing these songs today, I think of the people that are going to be next on the list. And I think the day is going to come when all of our names are on the list. And people will celebrate us for what we've done to keep the church strong so it can bless the people who are our neighbors. And so it is, we come to the end of the Old Testament. And we look forward with anticipation to the new that is right ahead of us.